Welcome to Christ Today. We welcome the year 2019. And of course, we welcome God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit into every moment of our life and into every area of our lives as we earnestly invite Jesus Christ to live in us. Jesus is the light of the world, and we invite this light to live in us. In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Isn't it interesting how we love ourselves so much? But when we grasp how very great, kind, loving, and just our Lord, our God is, we love Him all the more, and we want to be faithful and obedient to our amazing God. And this, in our heart, helps us to go through life, and we find ways to show God's loving wisdom to others. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. Yes, God loves us, but He also judges sin and unrighteousness. Also, we just plain get consequences for what we do. That has far-reaching effects and often long-lasting effects. And here we are in a new year. As with every new year, we hope for better everything than we now have. But it doesn't always work that way. 20 or more years ago, I heard an analyst tell how he predicted each new year. And how he analyzed that information was that if the conditions were about the same as the year previous, he could pretty much guess that things would very much be the same in the new year. But if something was notably different, he examined how it would affect our lives in that coming year. So, right now, do you think that things are different or the same as they were a year ago? Well, I do think there is a lot the same. But there are elements of change. Changes all around us, they are happening with more frequency than we really would have guessed. And it affects our lives in pretty big ways. And if you just look back, oh, a few years ago, 10, 20 years ago, or if you want to look back 50 years ago, just think about all the things that have changed. Yes, go back 100 years from a history book, and 100 years ago, oh, we were right about in World War I, and the troops, well, really just about everybody used horses for transportation. No cars to speak of, no trucks, just horses. And if you go back 200 years, well, then wood stoves were just getting their widespread use because cast iron techniques were just getting well known and shown how to be economical. And stoves became affordable and portable. And what a change that was to have a fire in a stove. Cooking on a stove, what a change from cooking over an open fire. Well, that was 200 years ago. We have come a long ways. Yeah, just think, even in the last year, there have been lots of developments. And they can really affect our lives, all sorts of things. I talk about many various developments and things that have happened because I'm a history guy and I see reasons to be cautious because the information that we get can change our lives. And most people are so busy that they don't have an extra 4 or 8 extra hours in a week to look at hardly anything. But For me, I've had that pattern in my life going back many years, where I look at information and try to analyze it. And so I just am continuing an old habit. Something that I enjoy doing, something that I like to do, and I look at the possibilities. Now, just because I see the possibilities, that certainly does not mean that anything will happen that we think will happen. Not for me, not in your analysis either. But we have to realize that there are possibilities and that really certain events can change our lives. Lots of things can change. And if we do nothing to protect ourselves from that change, well, then we get the consequences. That is well understood. We get consequences from what we do or from what we do not do. And mostly in life, we just go along and we survive all of our decisions, both good and bad, and our indecision as well. And about this, what we get to do is examine all these questions for ourselves, and we determine how to act on what is in front of us. But I get to tell you about what I see and why I see it. So that's what I talk about. But the most important examination that I see is to ask yourself about God. Is there really a God? Did Jesus really live? Is the Bible true? And does this mean that I can live forever in heaven and not in hell? Well, we can look at all these things and we can determine how truth is demonstrated and how we demonstrate our own belief and faith by what we do. Do we live as God tells us to live, which is the same as how the Bible instructs us? And so, do we read it? Do we believe it? Do we do it? Yeah, it is for you to understand and prayerfully pursue God's Word. And pay attention to God and what is going on in our physical world. Oh, sometimes we pay more attention to what's going on right in front of us in our physical world because, well, it's just so human. And for so many of us, it is a challenge to look at things in their spiritual connotations and light. But that is what lasts. Our physical world doesn't last, but the spiritual world does. And so as we go through life, we are concerned with other things beside the physical, and it has to do with our preserving our relationships, and if we are concerned for the spiritual things, not just the physical needs. Sure, physical needs are important, and we think of water, food, warmth, and shelter, and a few other ones. We often think about cars. We often think about our jobs. And occasionally we think of, oh, the big picture items like famine and natural disaster or epidemics or terrorism and war. Well, we all have concerns and things that we recognize in life today. Yeah, just look back not too long ago at the California fires. Why, they displaced thousands of people. Look at that campfire. About 50,000 people went to bed comfortably one night, and the next night, those same approximately 50,000 people did not know where they were going to sleep that night. So see, any one of us could be in a similar situation, really any time. All of those displaced fire victims were then concerned with the basics of living. Clean water, enough food, staying warm, staying safe. Yeah. And you know, last month, the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council, in cooperation with Homeland Security, said that everyone should have a month supply of food. Yeah, and don't forget the water. Do you remember how a year ago the government emergency people used to say that we should have 2 weeks of food and water on hand? And some of them were saying just a few days of food and water on hand, 3 days. Well, what a difference, and how their orientation changes between, oh, let's say 2 weeks of food and water and 6 months of food and water. Well, yeah, try that one. Get a water filter. That's too much water to have on hand in storage. But it all makes you wonder what these emergency people or the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council, what they think is coming our way. Questions, questions, questions. And naturally, we all wonder what will be coming our way. Will something happen in an hour or a week or 10 weeks or 10 years? And you know, we just don't know. But it is sensible to have some preparations. Oh, and you know, you can always write me for my free brochure with my own ideas about preparedness for food and other things. I'll give you the address later at the end of this broadcast. Yes, and do remember that there's lots of people, lots of corporations and public agencies that all have written information about their own ideas of preparedness and what you can do to prepare. There is a lot of information available. You just have to get it and read it and analyze it. Because each and every person has a different idea of what is important and what they can do. So, you have to just look, and you have to realize that the way the system is set up, there's not going to be anybody who's going to take care of you. You have to take care of yourself. Yes, if you're part of a group, often enough the group will help other members. But there is no organization that is taking care of us ordinary citizens. That's what most of us are, just plain old ordinary people. And there is nobody that takes care of us in the event of a disaster. And I think back to Hurricane Katrina that hit New Orleans in 2005. It took FEMA very nearly 2 months, that's 8 weeks, before FEMA or any official federal government was able to provide any meaningful assistance to those regular people hit by Hurricane Katrina. So I have to wonder, can it happen again? That assistance doesn't come? Yes, it sure can. So, should we be prepared to live without any meaningful assistance for 8 weeks? Huh? Yeah, I think it's a lesson that we can learn from history. And you know, we all pretty much do not learn from history because there have been all sorts of disasters in many places all over the world, not to mention in our own country, but yet there are very few people who take preparedness seriously for any sort of a disaster or natural event. Well, so are you ready to learn from history? And if you are, you have to actually do something. Do something to prepare. And, you know, I say often enough, think, plan, and do. Nearly a year ago, there were 200,000 people who were evacuated due to the Oroville Dam threat. And then there were 2 months ago where 50,000 people were evacuated from Paradise due to the fires. So, you know that things happen. You know that in life, surprises do happen. We know that some people did have supplies and they had to evacuate. And I've heard those people say, well, my supplies did not help me. And I have to admit, yeah, true enough, that's true. But there were people in the surrounding areas who did have supplies, and those supplies did help a lot of people who were relocated due to the fire or the dam evacuation. So, yeah, some people it didn't work for, but in general, water, food, and supplies are good to have on hand, and they do help other people. So, certainly, if there is a big disaster, there will be many people who will be willing to help. Oh, and then you also have the FEMA camps that they're barbed wire enclosed FEMA camps. I wonder who would go to those for food and water and warmth. Well, it's possible a whole lot of people would. You just have to wonder, are you going to be prepared enough to take care of yourself, or are you going to need someone else to take care of you? Well, it's a big question, and so we just have to wonder. And I think of the words of Thomas Jefferson. He said, I prefer dangerous freedom to peaceable slavery. Anyway, that's one of the things he said. Yeah. So if there ever was, or when there will be, some really big emergency or disaster, it will change everything. All the conditions that we call normal, like every single road will be congested and slow moving. And that means you will probably need 5 times more gasoline to get to where you're going, because you're not going to be driving at your normal speeds. You're not going to get there at the normal time that it would normally take you. And that's just what happens in a disaster. And we are subject to having disasters or fear that strikes a nation. There are all sorts of things. And you remember less than a year ago. Do you remember there were concerns about North Korea becoming a nuclear threat to the United States? After that, do you remember Russia? That they maybe boasted, or maybe they warned the United States about Russia's significantly advanced hypersonic cruise missiles and other weapons that they had, which could very easily attack the United States. Well, just a question. When the President Putin of Russia said that, he made the announcement to the Russian Duma representatives, and I was kind of surprised by their reaction. They all loudly clapped and cheered when he talked about attacking the United States. Yeah, and then after this, there was the leader of China, who strongly encouraged Chinese armed forces to get ready for war. He did that several times, and he told his soldiers to be ready to die for the honor of China. And later in that year, last year, 2018, Iran, you remember the country that has those big public rallies where they all chant, Death to America! Well, their Navy has aggressively approached our U.S. Navy ships, and they have bought sea mines by the thousands, and there's a concern that they could mine Strait of Basra. And there's also concern that Iran has launched rockets that could have ICBM capacity. Well, who knows? There's a lot going on with countries. Oh, not to mention terrorist groups. They also want to strike and cripple the United States. Often enough, these terrorist groups consider the United States of America to be godless according to their own view of God. Therefore, we, the United States, deserves to be completely destroyed. So, you see, there's lots of possible problems, but none have erupted into an actual conflict, but they could, and you just get to evaluate what it is. And those are the real conflict areas, but often enough, a trade war or an embargo can turn into a real war. And there is a trade war going on between the United States and China. That's historically, it's not unusual for that to happen, that a trade war becomes a real war. That happened in World War II with Japan. I don't know, not so many people realize that the United States placed an embargo on Japan so that they could not buy any oil for several years. And that was before Japan attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor. See, all these things make a difference. Trade wars, real wars, all of it. A month ago, there was a treaty that allowed the United States to request that Canada arrest Meng Wanzhou, who was the daughter of a high-up Chinese Communist Party official. She is also the CFO of his company, which is Huawei. It is an electronic company that sends its products all over the world, and it makes an incredible number of smartphones that are used here in the United States and around the world. Our United States military has said that it does not want its people to use those smartphones made by that company because, well, it was about a year ago that the Huawei company proclaimed to the Chinese leaders that its smartphones were part of the Chinese government's spy system of gathering information for the Chinese government. It's a spy system. Their smartphones are a spy system. What do you know? There's a lot going on that we, the American people, just don't quite grasp. Partly because the media does not tell us, and partly because we don't search out information. The information that really could affect our lives. There's things that we just don't imagine will actually affect us. So they're listening to us. Does that make a difference? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. A whole lot of what we say on the telephone is unimportant, but if the Chinese government is listening to the information, if we have a spy agency that is gathering all the information in the United States on its own citizens, I don't know. It's just a question. What's the answer? The answer is that if everything is good, there is no problem. If things turn bad, well, there can be some really, really serious problems. Well, after official of the Huawei company was arrested, China arrested three Canadian businessmen, and they put them into secret jails. We don't even know where they are. But we should be aware that that's how China plays its financial game, its financial circumstances. They do things very politically and in ways that are unacceptable to the rest of the world. The world has agreements between nations, and this kind of retaliation is not supposed to happen. But it seems like China is not a part of those responsible nations of the world. Instead, China is acting like a spoiled brat who is not getting its way, and so it becomes a physical bully, very aggressive. And we had better recognize that China does not want to follow the agreed-upon international law. They want to do things that they want. And that's what a bully does. Obviously, China does not promote freedom and equality under international law. Instead, they want special treatment, or they will, physically abuse, or let's say arrest and detain, whoever they choose. Quite a situation. And the thing is to be aware of it. Don't be surprised. It has happened a lot in China, and it's happened a lot in history. Historically, yes, China has done this to their own citizens, and worse. And so have other countries. So am I concerned about China's bad behavior that denies common and expected human rights? Yeah, I am. But it's gone on for a long time. It's not unusual. It's just that we don't look far enough to see it. China has been killing and jailing many religious people, probably because those people who can be Christian or Muslim or Falun Gong, those religious people, elevate their belief in God. And it is presumed by the Chinese communists that when they believe in God, they put that belief above their belief in government. And so they will follow God instead of the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP. So that's the threat that the organized government sees. How true is it? Yes, it remains to be seen. But it could get a lot worse. You just think back. Think back of, well, again, so many people don't know this. There's been reports of organ harvesting in China for 20 years. Organ harvesting, they say, of prisoners, because they belong to the state, so it's okay. And they don't use anesthesia. The doctors just do a very quick opening and cutting, and they send those organs abroad when they were fresh. That's been going on for a long time. In history, none of this kind of behavior is surprising. It's happened within the last years, or the last 100 years, or the last several thousand years. This kind of brutality has always been. And we just don't want to see it, so we have to be careful that we are not supporting a system that supports this kind of brutality. Nope, we want to promote the love of God through Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. And if we don't realize that the serious kind of problems are going on, then we don't think about it, we don't do anything about it, we don't even pray about it. And that's what we need to do first, is pray about the things. Now, there's many things that have happened in the last year, and many areas of uncertainty between last year and this year. And I talked about a few of the big problems and conflicts, and there's many areas of conflicts. It just somehow, we just don't seem to see them. Often there's physical battles, often there's spiritual things, and if you look at religions, well, there's lots of battles between religions, even the same religions. That is, within the same religion, there are big battles. It's happened before, and it will continue to. If you look at the Christian religion, there have been Protestants and Catholics, both Christians, and they have both had very great conflicts of violence. And maybe there will be another conflict. I know I think of the Pope wanting to change the Lord's Prayer from where it says, "Lead us not into temptation," and he wants to change it to, "Abandon us not when we are in temptation." Will it change? I don't know. It's interesting. How much are we going to stick to our tradition and saying, we don't want anything to change? I don't know. It's just a question. About temptation, Charles Spurgeon, he was from the 1800s, he said it is clear that God does not tempt us, because that would be inconsistent with the nature of God. And that God, he very well may lead us into conflicts with evil, and we might call those temptations, but God does not tempt us. But he can lead us to a battlefield where we must face evil and conquer evil through the blood of the Lamb. And this is perhaps leading us into temptation by divine grace. And we need that grace to to let goodness rule. And so we grow strong by being tempted, and we grow in grace and patience. Well, that's what Charles Spurgeon said. That was in the late 1800s. So I don't think that the Catholics and the Protestants will have a conflict over this, but religions are very fond of their traditions. All religions. And I mean, you look at the Muslim with their Shia and their Sunni sects. Each one of those has a very strong opinion, and they fight each other. There have been many deadly conflicts over the last centuries. And for a Muslim, killing a non-believer is all right when they do it for the sake of their God. It's just very different. So, well, you know that last month that there were two, I'm pretty sure they were blonde-headed Scandinavian girls killed in Morocco. That was just a few weeks ago. And it was done by Islamic fundamentalists. They were on holiday and traveling separately in different parts of the country. And one was killed and the other one was beheaded. It's just that people have strong beliefs, and we should be aware of that. And speaking of beheading, I think it's also interesting that it's written in Revelation chapter 20, I think it's verse 4, that it talks about people, the saints being beheaded, and that is a question of if perhaps we are at war with people who behead other people, and that is a strong Muslim tradition. And so there's a question of if a war between Christianity and Islam is foreseen. It's a good question. There's lots of people who go through great grief, and can we please have a little concern for people who are in grief? We can pray for a whole lot of people. There's so many people who go through grief, and I think it's something we can always do. Grieve for other people and grieve for the innocent. There's lots of people who suffer that are innocent. And of course, I think about the innocent fetus babies that are killed. You know, that's innocent blood, and innocent blood grieves our God. So I think it should grieve us too. I think we should care about what God says. I think we should care about what God grieves about. And he says it in his word, the Bible. And yes, we need to understand this. We need to read the Bible and grasp what it says for our own selves. We ought ponder it because we each have an individual perspective, and that perspective can help to to spread the news of Jesus Christ to other people as we relate our personal experience as describing things of faith. Yeah, we are certainly in a battle. We are in a battle. I've heard it described as a spiritual battle. I've heard it described as a battle for the truth. And really, I think of it as that battle between good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. Yeah, truth and untruth. It's just something we had better be aware of. Where do we stand with it? Well, let's stand with God, the God of the Bible. Speaking of truth, did you hear that the architects and engineers for 9/11 truth have filed a petition with the United States Attorney in the Southern District of New York, Manhattan, and that the court has now agreed to examine the evidence regarding the collapse of the Twin Towers on 9/11. So, after 17 years of asking reasonable questions, there is going to be evidence presented about what happened on the day of an event of 9/11. Another official examination where evidence will be presented. Wow. 17 years later, it's going to be examining the two twin towers and the 47-story building 7, why all three buildings collapsed on the same day at free fall speeds. And free fall speed means if something falls and it doesn't have any resistance. In other words, there's no building under it. Yep, it's a question, and we need... I hope we get answers to the questions because, well, it just never was something I could understand. I hope they look at where the tons and tons of concrete that went into each and every floor of that building. What happened to those tons of concrete? It seems like they were pulverized. There weren't any big chunks of concrete, none to speak of at Ground Zero. So, I'm glad that we get to have another investigation where evidence is presented. So, it took 17 years to get to this point. We hope it doesn't take till 20 years to get an answer or another viewpoint. Lots of questions. Questions about all sorts of things. All sorts of things. And that helps us to wonder about our future, too, because there are questions. Yes, the Bible tells us plenty, but it doesn't tell us in a way that we can easily understand the time frame, for instance. And maybe you will remember, about a month ago, I said that separately, two different people had told me to get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And that surprised me. I think here I talk about that, but I was told to get ready. Oh, interesting. Well, I do prepare with water and food and warmth, but everybody has their own idea of what preparedness means, and you have to find that answer for you. Find out what it is that appeals to your sense of preparedness. That's what we all do, or ought to do, is try to figure it out. See where you see the areas of importance are. We are all responsible for ourselves and the people around us, like our family. Oh, unless we're elder people. But the idea is to have a preparedness mindset. Getting ready can mean different things to different people. And that sure was funny for somebody to tell me to get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Ha! It made me wonder. Well, I could just think that what the big thing I was supposed to do would be to talk to people who listen about that, because it really was an odd thing to have happened. Well, I think about my two big likely concerns. I have things that I think are the most likely to occur, and one is that there would be a widespread or grid-down electrical outage, and who knows how that could last, how long it could last for. If it doesn't get fixed quickly, it could really take a long time to get fixed, like months. And there are people who say it could take years to repair if there was that kind of an outage with damage. So everybody has to examine this for themselves. As far as I know, nobody does know the answer. But there are plenty of people who foresee a problem as lasting months or probably years. So anyway, that's one of my concerns, is the electrical grid going down. And another big concern is a monetary collapse. The monetary collapse could be sudden, or the process could take a few years to occur. It's not like we know. We don't know. But there are plenty of people who see this possibility, and they are suggesting that steps are being taken right now to act for the large institutions to act and have a new form of money to be distributed. And of course, those are plans that are made in secret, and we don't know what could happen. It's just that we know it's possible, and people are talking about it. So it's another form of preparing that we could do, because it certainly would be a large, large event if that were to happen. During the time between a collapse and a reestablishment of our system, it would take months. It would take months to do that, no matter what. Even if the things were already prepared, like money or electronic money or whatever it is, or the chip, whatever it is, it doesn't just happen automatically overnight. It takes months to get things done. So I think that's a form of preparedness that we can have also. Prepare for the who knows what. Prepare for just in case. And that means you get what you think you can. Of course, we cannot get what we really will need, because we don't know what we'll need. And we couldn't afford it if we could, for almost everybody. It takes a lot of money to buy all these things at once. So, and besides, if we could buy all the things at once, the stores probably would not have what we wanted. Or you change your mind as you get things, and you find out that there's better solutions than you first had an idea of. So it takes time. The whole process takes time. But you have to start someplace. And so start buying what you can anytime now. Just buy a few things. Get started. Because if you never start, you never get it done. So think, plan, and do. And if you want, you can write me for my ideas. I'll tell you at the end of the broadcast. Well, it seems there are lots going on in our world. There's a lot going on. You think of the natural disasters. There's volcanoes. There's earthquakes. There's political uncertainties and surprises all over the place. I know we just had that yellow vest movement in France. What's that all about? I know the first time I heard about it, I wondered, why were they wearing yellow vests? And then I found out that the French law requires that every motorist in France must have a yellow vest for their people in the car, which would be worn if they had to step outside of their car in the event of an emergency. So, everybody had a yellow vest, and they were for sale all over France besides. That's why there was a yellow vest movement, because the public seemed to think that there was a national emergency that they were facing. It was an emergency situation. So they came out onto the streets with their vests on. And yes, we saw some violence. We did. But over and over again, you know, it depends on who you listen to. Our mass media portrays the violence. But there's a whole lot of other media that was showing that it was really a peaceful movement. One of the commentators said the whole country had been shut down for weeks, and most of it was done by nonviolent people and events. So, why were the violent episodes shown? Some people would suppose that the authorities don't want the citizens to see how easy it is to shut down a country, an entire country, without violence. But the violence did show, and that was a part of it. What was going on? Oh, don't we get to see and think and figure it out? Yep. We do have things going on in the world in all sorts of ways. And I think about the natural disasters also. I think about the volcanoes. I think about the volcanoes. There was a Krakatoa that went off again. And there was a relatively small explosion compared to the big one that it had in 1883. In 1883, it had a huge eruption. It was so big and had such a great big volcanic cloud that it caused the earth to cool, and it caused crops to fail for several years. And that made a famine on the earth for several years. Oh, it was big. So this eruption, which was, what was that, about a month ago, it was small by comparison. Yeah, only 300 people died, but it still was a volcanic activity. And the point is that there are volcanic activities going on. There's volcanoes in the one in Hawaii is still continuing. There's a volcano on the island of Sicily as well. And these volcanoes in the past have had big eruptions. Will they again? We don't know. We don't know. And we do examine questions. And, of course, most of us are aware of the Yellowstone volcanic activity also. We don't know what will actually happen with that, but the potential of it is huge. Well, another very odd thing is there's a crack that is opening up in the Rift Valley of Kenya, Africa. And that crack, well, in some places it's 10 feet wide, and some places it's 100 feet wide, and it's a couple of hundred feet deep often enough. Well, a crack going across the continent of Africa. Well, it's not across the continent, but it is a few thousand miles long. And in some place there is no crack. And in some place, like I said, it's over 100 feet wide. It's just a very interesting question. Oh boy, I wonder what's going to happen there. And so my point is that natural disasters are happening, and they are going on, and we have all sorts of things going on that just doesn't get our attention a lot. For instance, there's the state-run news organization that has an AI, artificial intelligence robot, that sits at a desk and delivers the news. And I think it's really interesting that they got a robot to do that with the proper expressions and facial movements. And it's just interesting. makes me wonder what they might be wanting it to report on. I don't know. Well, in China, everything is done to serve the Chinese Communist Party, CCP. And ultimately, there's not a lot of freedom to make personal choices or corporate choices in China. And we get to recognize this when we study history. I know as a young man, I went to East Germany, and I saw the effects of communist on people and society. There's a lot of people who see troubles coming for our country because they recognize the patterns that they saw in other parts of the world. East Germany is a big one. Russia, different parts of the Russian Empire is another one. So a lot of people see troubles coming, and they just say, what are we going to do? We saw tyranny once. We saw collapse once. What do we do if it happens again? Well, a lot of people are concerned about patterns because they see the patterns. I see them too. But I just don't know when or how things will take an effect in our lives. I think about the patterns repeating, and what does it mean? I was thinking the other day about when I was young and just driving and how the gas stations had gas wars to cut the price of gasoline. And I remember the gas was selling for less than 25 cents per gallon. And I thought, wow, just think, today we basically add a zero to the price of gasoline. So in another couple of decades, maybe 25, maybe 50 years, will the inflation come about again? And we could add another zero to the price of gas? I mean, can you imagine $25 gasoline? $25 per gallon gasoline? No, we can't. It's beyond our comprehension. But things can happen quickly or they can happen slowly. And when we have an instability in our economy, well, it is reflected in our money. And really and truly, we just don't know what'll happen. We have seen it happen to other countries. We have seen economies collapse and countries collapse and have political turmoil. And all we can do is be aware that it might happen here. It could. It doesn't have to. But with our country being so divided, I think that's a pretty easy thing to recognize. That there's different factors and different factions within our country, and it's getting harder and harder to agree. So, a divided house cannot stand. That's well recognized. So, we have to be careful and aware of that being something that is going on right now in our country. So look out, get prepared. We could have uncertainties in our future. And you know what? We don't know what'll happen. We don't know at all what these things might be. But if these are indeed the end times, we do have an idea because we've been told in the Bible what those end times are going to be about. It's Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21. All these things talk about famine, earthquakes, pestilence, and war. So do we know what will happen? Not really. But we sure know what could happen. And it doesn't mean we have an emergency system that'll help us either. You know that the 911 emergency system was out in several states. This happened not even a month ago in parts of Utah, Ohio, Arizona, Missouri, Oregon, and Washington, and Massachusetts. So, yeah, it has happened. We can have surprises, and that's, I think, what I would like to say, is we can have surprises, and who knows what really will happen. But we will want to make sure that we have some provisions and some plans for the just in case, Because we don't know what'll happen. We really don't know. And it's only sensible to do a few things, a few steps towards preparedness and preparation. It can be for the economic system. It can be for just plain the natural disasters or the physical world. It's just a big question, but do something. That's the whole point. We don't know what'll happen in our lifetime. Oh, except that we will live and we will die. So for that, we want to prepare our minds and our hearts to have that strong relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we can see that if you look at things historically, that is so obvious. We want that. We need that. And we can be assured that God is real and Jesus has lived and the Bible is true. And sometimes we have to study to show that this is true. And I hope you're not going to be like me who took so many years to study so much and I had to read the Bible twice and all that stuff. Oh boy. Well, there's an easy path and there's a longer path. Whatever it is, I hope you take it and reinforce your faith and belief in God through Jesus Christ. So, remember that all these things are, they're all available for your study. And I also want to remind you that that at this time of year, I'm glad to receive any donations towards the broadcast costs of this broadcast. And if you can help, by all means do. And if you'd like to access the broadcasts in the past, you can do that by going to www.christtoday.org. It's no capitals and no spaces, and that's just the way it is. So have a listen to past broadcasts if you would like. And, of course, you can write me for my free preparedness pamphlet. Just send me a stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222. Chico, California, 95927. And I'll send you my preparedness pamphlet. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And thank you for listening. And until next week, may you walk with God and may God walk with you.
Give me passion that pours out to every nation. Shine your light.